Act 4, The Other Island. Some months have elapsed, and we have again the honor of waiting upon Lord Loam in his London home. It is the room of the first act, but with a new scheme of decoration, for on the walls are exhibited many interesting trophies from the island, such as skins, stuffed birds, and weapons of the chase, labeled Shot by Lord Loam, Honorable Ernest Woolley's Blowpipe, etc. There are also two large glass cases containing other odds and ends, including, curiously enough, the bucket in which Ernest was first dipped. But there is no label calling attention to the incident. It is not yet time to dress for dinner, and his lordship is on a couch, hastily yet furtively, cutting the pages of a new book. With him are his two younger daughters and his nephew, and they also are engaged in literary pursuits. That is to say, the ladies are eagerly, but furtively, reading the evening papers, of which Ernest is sitting complacently, but furtively, on an endless number, and doling them out as called for. Note the frequent use of the word furtive. It implies that they do not wish to be discovered by their butler, say, at their otherwise delightful task. Agatha is reading aloud.
In conclusion, we most heartily congratulate the Honorable Ernest Woolley. This book of his regarding the adventures of himself and his brave companions on a desert isle stirs the heart like a trumpet.
Evidently, the book referred to is the one in Lord Loam's hymns.
Here is another.
From the first to the last of Mr. Woolley's engrossing pages, it is evident that he was an ideal man to be wrecked with, and a true hero, Ernest.
That's how it strikes them, you know. Here's another one.
There are many kindly references to the two servants who were wrecked with the family, and Mr. Woolley pays the butler a glowing tribute in a footnote.
Loam has been searching the index for the letter L.
Excellent, excellent. At the same time, I must say, Ernest, that the whole book is about yourself.
As the author?
Certainly, certainly. And still, you know, as a peer of the realm, I think, Ernest, you might have given me one of your adventures.
I say it was you who taught us how to obtain a fire by rubbing two pieces of stick together.
Do you? Do you? I call that very handsome. What page?
Here the door opens, and the well-bred Crichton enters with the evening papers as subscribed for by the house. Those we have already seen have perhaps been introduced by Ernest up his waistcoat. Everyone except the intruder is immediately self-conscious, and when he withdraws, there is a general sigh of relief. They pounce on the new papers. Ernest evidently gets a shock from one, which he casts contemptuously on the floor.
Father, see page 81. It was a tiger cat, says Mr. Woolley, of the largest size. Death stared Lord Loam in the face, but he never flinched.
Page 81.
Loam searches his book eagerly.
With presence of mind only equaled by his courage, he fixed an arrow in his bow.
Thank you, Ernest. Thank you, my boy.
Unfortunately, he missed.
Eh?
But by great good luck, I heard his cries.
My cries?
And rushing forward with drawn knife, I stabbed the monster to the heart.
Lord Loam shuts his book with a pettish slam. There might be a scene here were it not that Crichton reappears and goes to one of the glass cases. All are at once on the alert, and his lordship is particularly sly.
Anything in the papers, Catherine?
No, Father, nothing. Nothing at all.
The papers? The papers are guides that tell us what we ought to do, and then we don't do it.
Crichton, having opened the glass case, has taken out the bucket, and Ernest, looking round for applause, sees him carrying it off and is undone. For a moment of time, he forgets that he is no longer on the island, and with a sigh, he is about to follow Crichton and the bucket to a retired spot. The door closes, and Ernest comes to himself.
I told him to take it away.
I thought... I shall go and dress.
He goes.
Father, it's awful having Crichton here. It's like living on tiptoe.
While he is here, we are sitting on a volcano.
How mean of you. I'm sure he's only stayed on with us to help us through. It would have looked so suspicious if he had gone at once.
But suppose Lady Brocklehurst were to get at him and pump him? She's the most terrifying, suspicious old creature in England. And Crichton simply can't tell a lie.
My dear, that is the volcano to which I was referring. It's all Mary's fault. She said to me yesterday that she would break her engagement with Brocklehurst unless I told him about, you know what.
All conjure up the vision of Crichton and Mary engaged on the island.
Is she mad?
She calls it common honesty.
Father, have you told him?
She thinks I have, but I couldn't. She's sure to find out tonight.
Unconsciously, Loam leans on the island concertina, which he has perhaps been lately showing to an interviewer as something he made for Tweeny. It squeaks, and they all jump.
It's like a bird of ill omen.
I must have it taken away. It has done that twice.
Lady Mary comes in. She is in evening dress. Undoubtedly, she meant to sail in, but she forgets, and despite her garments, it is a manly entrance. She is properly ashamed of herself. She tries again, and has an encouraging success. Then she indicates to her sisters that she wishes to be alone with Papa.
All right, but we know what it's about. Come along, Kit.
They go. Lady Mary thoughtlessly sits like a boy, and again corrects herself. She addresses her father, but he is in a dark mood, and she seeks to draw his attention by whistling. This troubles them both.
How hard of me.
If you would try to remember.
I do, but there are so many things to remember.
Oh, there are. Do you know, Mary, I constantly find myself secreting hairpins.
I find it so difficult to go up steps one at a time.
I was dining with half a dozen members of our party last Thursday, Mary, and they were so eloquent that I couldn't help wondering all the time how many of their heads he would put in the bucket.
I use so many of his phrases, and my appetite is so scandalous. Father, I usually have a chop before we sit down to dinner.
As for my clothes, my dear, you can't think how irksome collars are to me nowadays.
They can't be half such an annoyance, Father, as...
She looks dolefully at her skirt.
Quite so. You have dressed early tonight, Mary.
That reminds me. I had a note from Brocklehurst saying that he would come a few minutes before his mother, as he wanted to have a talk with me. He didn't say what about, but of course we know. It was good of you to tell him, Father. Oh, it is horrible to me. It seemed so natural at the time.
Never again make use of that word in this house, Mary.
Father, Brocky has been so loyal to me for these 2 years that I should despise myself were I to keep my extraordinary lapse from him. Had Brocky been a little less good, then you need not have told him my strange little secret.
Polly, Mary, it was all Crichton's fault. He...
No, Father. No, not a word against him. I haven't the pluck. I can't understand how it ever was. Father, do you not still hear the surf? Do you see the curve of the beach?
I have begun to forget, but they were happy days. There was something magical about them.
It was glamour. Father, I have lived Arabian nights. I have sat out a dance with the evening star. But it was all in a past existence in the days of Babylon, and I am myself again. But he has been chivalrous always. If the slothful, indolent creature I used to be has improved in any way, and I owe it to him. I'm slipping back in many ways, but I am determined not to slip back altogether, in memory of him and his island. That is why I insisted on your telling Brocky. He can break our engagement if he chooses. Mary Lazenby is going to play the game.
But, my dear...
Lord Brocklehurst is announced.
Father, dear, oughtn't you to be dressing?